is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk. It's Tuesday the 19th of March. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my co-host, Mr. Marvellous, Martin Wett.
Hello, Paul. I'm all fingers and thumbs down. I've just nearly knocked the microphone over again.
He's thrown water all over the place already this morning. He's knocked the microphone all over. He's coming in a right belligerent mood, smashing the place up.
It's all this talk about nerves with our guests today. It's transferred onto us. They're as cool as cucumbers, but we're bricking it, aren't we?
Absolutely. Well, talk for yourself. Yeah. Anyway, apart from that.
Yes.
And destroying my studio. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Yeah, how are you?
I'm okay. What have you been up to?
I don't know. Keeping my eye on the news and kind of...
Right.
And sort of everyone I speak to is kind of quietly getting on with the business of running a business.
Yeah.
And it's almost like we've kind of blocked all of that noise out.
Yeah.
Which makes you think, why do we even need any of that noise in the first place?
Exactly.
Doesn't it?
Anarchy. Anarchy is what we need.
Well, you're a big fan of the Swiss model, aren't you?
I certainly am.
Everything by direct, referendum.
Direct democracy. Yeah. Yep, absolutely.
So, I think the politicians in this country are doing a great job of sort of marginalising themselves.
Absolutely, I couldn't agree more.
They're doing themselves out of a job, I think.
Mm. Well, hopefully.
Yeah.
Hopefully. I couldn't agree more. The lot of them, useless.
Looking
all of
forward
them.
To a brighter future without them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
We don't need them.
No, we don't.
Politicians are the problem, not the solution. There you go.
I think the other interesting thing that, you know, we're reporting some fantastic employment figures again today.
Yeah, the figures are out today. 3.9% unemployment now. Highest number of people ever in employment, 33 million. 76.9% of people are in full-time jobs.
Everyone was expecting the economy to drop off a cliff, and I think we had 0.5% growth in the first quarter.
Absolutely we did. Wages have risen 1.6% over inflation. So, you know, we're now into positive areas at last. It's taken a long time to get there, but we are there. So wages are actually rising at nearly 4%, but by the time you take inflation into account, it's a 6% rise.
So, chin up, everyone.
Yeah, and there's 833,000 unfilled full-time jobs still.
Yeah.
So there you go. So if you want two jobs, there's another one going.
And the interesting thing I was reading about the other day is Celep. So the South East Local Enterprise Partnership are spearheading a new initiative, which is the Digital Skills Partnership. Have you heard about that?
No, I haven't. I try to ignore them.
Oh, okay. Well, apparently, of those job vacancies that you were just referencing, there's 35,000 digital job vacancies in the Celep area, which is Essex.
Do you want to know another statistic? James, who we're going to talk to later, he's a bit of a tech geek, and this will interest him as well. Yeah. Because I've checked this statistic a dozen times, because I didn't believe it when I saw it. But the Federation of Small Business produced a statistic that said 76% of small and micro businesses have no business digital footprint.
Wow.
That's amazing, isn't it? That's staggering. Mm. In the 21st century, 76% of businesses don't have a business website or a business Facebook page or LinkedIn or any kind of digital presence. I mean, wow. Mm. And a lot of it is entirely what you were going on to say, is because the digital skill shortage. Because, of course, it's not something we bother to teach in schools or anything, is it? You know, being as we are concerned with learning Latin and stuff.
But isn't the answer obvious? We've got all these talented young school leavers who are desperate to kind of get a foot on the career ladder.
Yep.
They're all highly skilled at that whole kind of digital environment.
Exactly.
So why can't we just kind of put them into work in businesses using those skills?
Exactly. Which is exactly what we're trying to do with the 30-30 program, which we'll probably talk about later.
So someone needs to kind of join the dots up a bit, don't they, I think?
Yeah, yeah.
And hopefully this new initiative will help.
Well, hopefully, yeah. I mean, it's always welcome when people start to focus on things that are an issue. Inevitably far too late, of course, because the problem with these things is there's a long lead time to them. You know, one of the big issues that we face with employment is the construction industry. 37% of all vacancies are in construction. Well, of course, for years we've relied on overseas labour in construction because we sent all of our young people to university to study media or whatever, and we didn't do vocational training. And that's come home to roost big time. And, of course, the solution to that is 4 or 5 years away at least in terms of young people going through their apprenticeships and learning the skills of the trades that are in short supply already. And that has a knock-on effect to the whole housing situation, which is also a big problem, you know, for young people getting on the housing ladder. We've got loads of people wanting to build houses, but no one to build them.
We're very good at sort of closing the door after the horse has bolted exactly, in this country, aren't we?
And that's the problem. It's strategic thinking, but it's strategic thinking in an innovative way. And that's what government is so really, really bad at. If they think about things strategically at all, they think about extrapolating from where they are, not leapfrogging to where you want to be. Yeah. So we're already talking, for instance, in technology terms, you know, the government are thinking about, talking about 5G. Well, they should be well past that by now. You know, back in the day, you don't like me doing this, do you? Back in the day. But effectively, a lot of countries, for instance, with their telecoms infrastructure, leapfrogged the technology. Because the UK developed the technology in the 19th century, we're stuck with legacy copper systems that other countries just never bothered to implement. They went straight to microwave, satellite and cellular and cut out the copper in the first place, you know. So
well, I'm
that strategic thinking is
just,
what's needed.
Just looking forward to the new Dartford crossing that will open in 10 years' time when I retire.
Can't wait
for that. That's going to really help us all, isn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, we've got some brilliant guests in the studio.
We have. Would you like to introduce them?
We really ought to introduce them. In fact, I'm going to ask you to introduce yourself. So, Lynette.
He's so lazy, isn't he? He just doesn't want to do anything.
With you. I'm Lynette, and I'm the Director of Sales at the Ashford International Hotel.
Brilliant. And thanks for coming, Lynette. Joanne.
Hi, I'm Joanne. I'm from Scarlett Financial Services.
Hi, Joanne.
Good afternoon. My name is James, and I'm from Fruit Geek.
Brilliant. So
fantastic.
We've got a nice, eclectic, and very diverse group of people in the studio today. So
we have indeed. And I want to say a big thank you to today's show sponsor, who are the lovely folks at ZC Social Media. And we're supporting the ZC Live event, which is coming up at the end of May at the Strood Academy. We have got some details about it that we'll read out later. But a huge thank you to Zoe and Gareth Cairns and the team at ZC Social Media. And hey, we'll see you all at ZC Live.
Yeah, look forward to that. Mm. And if you want to contribute, guys, at any point in time, if you want to step in and stop him ranting on about something, please feel free to do so.
What Martin's trying to say to you is he hasn't got a clue what to say next, so he's hoping desperately that you'll help him out here.
I have, actually, because we've had a tweet.
Well, we don't want to hear from you.
Well, it's not from me. It's from New Appointments Group.
I'll go for it, then.
Down at the fantastic Discovery Park.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who I also need to mention, by the way, in the same tweet, because they've asked for a shout-out today.
They've what?
They've asked for a shout-out. So that's Lauren Moore, who's the leasing manager down at Discovery Park.
Okay.
Marco Regan, a good friend of mine, who's the health and safety manager down there, and all the management team down at Discovery Park. Hello, and thanks for tuning in today. And, of course, one of your neighbours and one of your tenants is the brilliant New Appointments Group.
Absolutely.
And they've tweeted in and said, Paul, congratulations to you for doing such a great job at the Jobs Fair last week at the St George Hotel.
Oh, thank you. Thank you to Andrew and the team at the New Appointments Group. We did have a fabulous time there. I've got a tweet here as well from Tracy Ferguson, who organised it on our behalf. And she says, I'm running a Be Yourself workshop, so I'll be looking forward to listening to you all on the catch-up replay tonight. Can I have a shout-out, please, for everyone who supports the JobsInKent.com Medway Careers Fair last week and made it such a great community event. So a huge thank you to Tracy for doing the organising. A huge thank you to Roland and his staff at the St George Hotel. It was a fabulous venue for doing it. For the 25 businesses that turned up and advertised their vacancies and met with job seekers, and for the thousands and thousands and thousands of job seekers, both of them, that came.
Did they all take the day off school or something? Is that
one of them did?
One of them did.
The other one was already no. No, we had a great turnout. There was a great turnout of people there. Good. It was a really good event. Excellent. So thank you to everybody that was involved in that.
So
it was brilliant.
That's going to be a regular fixture now.
We're going to take them around the county. Yeah, we've gone old school. We've gone old school in Jobs in Kent, and we're going face to face around the county. Yeah.
Excellent. Well, we look forward to that. Well done.
Yeah. So what else you got, Martin?
Well, I've got some exciting news all about Kent Space. Lynette is a gasp.
Oh, no, exciting.
So we network here fairly regularly, don't we? Lynette, I know you come.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, I'll come along, yeah.
Last
on
Wednesday,
a Wednesday yes.
Each month. So there is one here at Kent Space Ashford next Wednesday at the usual time of 5:30. There's also one this Wednesday at the Chatham site in Lordswood. But there will also be one shortly, Paul, at the new Kent Space Ebbsfleet site.
And do you know what?
Go on.
The lovely folks from Kent Space are my guests on next week's show to talk about the launch of their new Ebbsfleet site.
Fantastic.
Isn't it brilliant that this show is produced to within an inch of its life and it's all planned so that it all seamlessly fits together and flows?
But what a great example of another Kent business success story.
Absolutely.
That's bucking the doom and gloom trend that's kind of out there at the moment. So well done to you guys.
Yeah, we love being at Kent Space here in Ashford. It's absolutely fabulous and they're going from strength to strength with what they're doing and all power to them.
So the Ebbsfleet site is going to be set up with a co-working space from the outset, which is great. So if you need an office space either for the day or you don't want to kind of have the overhead of four walls that you need to worry about on a monthly basis, they can accommodate you there. They've obviously got serviced office space as well. Mm. And they're doing a two-month free office rental trial as part of that launch. So the site actually opens in July. And what they're doing is they're offering new tenants 2 months free. So that will really help you with the cash flow. If you're a business that's moving into a new office, I mean, Joe, I know you've got a lovely office.
Heathgate's nearby. Very nice there.
But I guess when you first moved in and you had to find kind of rental and everything else, it's a big consideration.
It's difficult. Yes, very difficult.
Right. Mm. So the fact that you're going to get 2 months free, inclusive of everything, because all the utilities are included, your internet connection, everything else is going to help, isn't it?
Absolutely.
So if you're interested in that, if you're up at sort of Ebbsfleet area or Dartford or anywhere around there and you're looking for new offices, contact Sue McGowan, sm@kentspace.co.uk.
Fantastic. Hey, we'd like to hear from you, though, the businesses out there in the southeast of England. And you can get in touch with us in all the usual ways. You could, in fact, call me on 01233 220035. That's Ashford, 01233 220035. I suggest you tweet me first because I can't always hear the phone ringing, but you can call. Or you can email me at hello@bizradio.co.uk. But by far and away, the easiest way to interact with us live on air is to tweet me at VanillaWeb and please use the hashtag BBunker.
Did you have too many Coca-Colas last night?
Why?
You're sounding a bit gravelly today. Were you out with the boys, were you?
Well, that's highly unlikely, isn't it, Martin? And that is highly unlikely. As you know full well, I'm teetotal.
Oh, okay. I was perhaps you had too many Diet Cokes or something. I don't know. You're sounding a bit gravelly today.
No, I told you earlier I had full face surgery yesterday.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's why. I had 4 hours with five people in my mouth.
Yes, okay.
Yeah.
I thought I didn't recognise you when I first walked in. Now that must be part of this transformation that you're going through at the moment.
He's so funny, isn't he? Really.
Anyway, moving on.
I would if I were you. Shall I read a tweet?
Yeah,
I'm going to read a tweet from my lovely friends at My Careers Options. They say, if you or someone you know is interested in finding out more about the SEIS opportunity that we're offering, please get in touch. We are pre-approved and it may be just what you're looking for. You can get hold of them by emailing seis@mycareersoptions.co.uk. Let me tell you what an SEIS is for those that don't know. It's a small enterprise investment scheme. It's a government-backed scheme, which means if you put money into an approved SEIS approved company, you get 50% of it back as a tax rebate. So if you put 10 grand into a company, you get 5 grand back immediately.
And also, if they sell that company for millions and millions of pounds, then you're an investor. I don't believe there's only capital gains tax.
No, there's not.
That. No. So there you go.
So it's a good scheme. If you've got a bit of cash available and you're looking for somewhere to invest it that's a good return, you get half of it back straight away, an SEIS scheme. So do check out My Careers Options.
Yeah, definitely.
Fantastic. Definitely. What you got?
Do you know what else tells me that small businesses are just out there getting on with it at the moment.
Mm.
The number of networking events that there are out there.
Sure.
Know, they're springing up all over the place.
I'm speaking at a new one in a couple of weeks' time.
Which one's that?
It's called BizBuzz.
Right.
Which I hadn't heard of before, and it's in Sevenoaks, at a golf club in Sevenoaks.
Superb. Well, Metro Bank, they always have a popular monthly networking, and Bexley Heath. The Bexley Heath store are having a breakfast on the 27th of March at 8:30 in the morning. So that's being run by the lovely Kelly Purvor at metrobank.plc.uk. So if you'd like to pop along to that, by all means do. It's 27th of March, 08:30, and there'll be breakfast. And I think there's also a small presentation as well. But Maidstone have a monthly networking as well, which I think is next Wednesday evening at their Maidstone store, obviously.
The Metro Bank Maidstone store.
Metro Bank. Yeah. And I know Ashford. You went to Ashford recently.
Yeah, Ashford
as well,
do. That was on the Tuesday. So the last one on Tuesday. So the next one there is the 26th.
So, and this is all free networking. So, you know, you can just feel free to pop along on those days and join in and meet some great businesses.
Fantastic. So, have Metro got a branch in Ashford?
Yeah, they've got a brand new branch in Ashford. Beautiful store. Yeah, it was the Card Fair stop, I think. I can't remember what street it's in now, but it's a really lovely store, and they do the networking there every last month.
Fantastic. Fantastic. I can't keep up with them. They're opening stores all over the place. Yeah.
They came here to Kent Space last month, and the manager there did a presentation.
Kerry did a presentation.
Oh, fantastic.
So loads of networking going on, which I think is a great barometer in terms of, you know, healthy economy, small businesses getting out there and doing business. So, long may it continue.
Fantastic.
Doomsters.
Good. What else you got?
Loads of stuff.
Have you?
Yeah. So, if you are thinking about buying a new vehicle this month, obviously it's March, we've got new registrations, nobody's buying expensive German cars anymore, and quite rightly so, but what they might be doing is looking for a new vehicle because their small business is expanding, for example.
Yeah.
And they may be surprised to learn, these small business owners,
that Martin's flogging a car?
Well, no, not this time, but there is actually some grant money available that they could be using to help fund that vehicle.
Oh, I see. A commercial vehicle.
A commercial vehicle, for example. Or any kind of company vehicle, really. If you're investing in a vehicle to help your business grow. So you might be dividing and conquering teams, for example.
Right.
So do look into Southeast Business Boost. I believe there is still, up until the end of this month anyway, potentially some money available for small businesses to help them fund business growth expansion on that level.
Okay.
So the best way to do that is to have a look at the kent.gov.uk website, or again, in the community page of Supply My Business. All the information is in there.
Fantastic. Do you know, I'm going to play some cheesy tunage. Guess what this is?
I'm terrible at this.
It's Knock on Wood.
Oh.
See what I did there? Do you see what I did there? Oh, I'm so clever, aren't I?
That is cheesy.
Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. Riftaccounting.com.
Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Phoenix Analysts Limited. Business consultants commissioning, procurement and quality assurance services. Helping you to get the most out of your business. Check our website for more details. phoenixanalystslimited.com.
Do you use social media for your business? Do you understand all things digital? No? Then come to ZC Live. Business owner and TV commentator Zoe Cairns will host a day full of great content for local businesses. Free workshops, inspiring speakers, networking opportunities, top marketing tips, the latest trends. And it's all free. Make your digital marketing more effective with ZC Live. Friday, May the 31st at Strood Academy. Book your free place now at zclive.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Want more business in Kent? Get 12 months membership for the price of 10 when you join our supplymybusiness.co.uk Kent Business Community today.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, the 19th of March. That was a bit of knock on wood. Sorry, Lynette.
You were.
It was a bit cheesy, that, wasn't it?
A bit tenuous, yeah. That one, Paul. Not one of your best.
Oh,
sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Moan. We're going to talk to a really sensible guest in a minute, yes. Which will completely up the tone of the show, thankfully. I just want to read a quick couple of tweets before we do that. Michael Parks Surveyors over there in Medway. Thanks, Paul. We'd love a Business Bunker tweet out, and please give us a mention on the show, and we're listening in. And the lovely folks at Maidstone and Mid Kent Mind, the charity helping people with mental health issues. Have a great show. We've got a fantastic opportunity for anybody with the right skill set who would like to join our team. So if you'd like to find out more about that opportunity, if you contact them via Twitter in the first place, MMKMind, M-I-N-D, and then you can find out some more about it. And the Romney Resource Centre down there in New Romney. Hi, Vanilla Webb. Hi, Paul. We'd love a shout out, please, on the Business Bunker show. Have a great day. Have a great show. So thank you for that, everyone. But I tell you what, why don't we talk to somebody sensible now?
Yes,
that would make a change, wouldn't it? So that we don't have to talk to Martin anymore.
Finally.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome back. You have been on once before, the lovely Joanne Osborne from Scarlett Financial Services. Joanne, welcome back onto the Business Bunker show.
Thank you.
It was quite a while ago that you were on last, wasn't
it? 2 years.
Yeah. Time goes quickly, doesn't it? We missed you.
Thank you.
We missed you while you were
just
away.
Just about recovered from having spent have 2 hours in the same room as you.
Have you? Oh, really? Oh.
I've got earphones for at home now.
Have you?
Yeah.
So, Joanne, tell us a little bit about you, and then we'll talk a bit about Scarlett Financial Services, and then we'll talk money, I think.
Okay, yes. Mm. Well, it's been a busy couple of years. I've been too busy to come back here to talk to you.
Well, obviously, yeah.
Me personally, I've been advising for 15 years now, so quite experienced in this industry. Our office is in Ashford. It's me, just outside of Ashford. So we've got lovely offices with nice fields surrounding us, so we can go for a walk lunchtime if we want to.
Right.
We don't tend to.
So
we're busy helping
are you on that little business estate?
Eve Gate.
Yeah, that's it, Eve Gate, with the little host houses and things like that. Yeah.
We're in a nice barn, so it's a lovely place to work.
In a barn?
Yes.
Wow. Yeah. Are the cows and everything?
Yes.
It's lovely there, isn't it? Because you've got like cafes and you've got
a micro pub.
A vet surgery as well, haven't you?
Is that in the Blue Cafe? Is that along there
That's on the road on the way to us.
Yeah.
Stop there on the way to us, then come see us and go to the pub afterwards.
Fantastic.
Yeah. It's a good place to be.
Who needs to work when you've got all of that?
Exactly. Yeah. So when we're not looking at pubs and going to eat, what we actually help customers with is mortgages mainly.
Right,
so
okay.
So all kinds of mortgages for customers. And obviously then helping them with any protection they need to make sure that they can keep paying that mortgage. That's the main thing that we do.
Cool. Now then. Funnily enough, just recently, I've been looking into mortgages.
Okay.
Yeah. Just because I wanted to. And it's interesting because things have changed quite a lot since the last time I had a mortgage, because luckily I haven't got one. I don't want one right at the moment, for me. Anyway.
Don't blame you.
Yeah. But things have changed enormously, not least of which with things like buy-to-let mortgages and stuff like that, which is interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, you can now have tracker mortgages and fixed rate mortgages and all kinds of stuff going on. And I believe you can even get things like 35-year mortgages, which back in my day you couldn't.
Well, you can get what's called a lifetime mortgage now. So effectively, you have the mortgage for life. So
you have it?
For life.
Right, okay.
So it never gets paid off.
So you never pay it off, yeah. Oh, no, that's my kind of mortgage.
Yeah, so, I mean, the market's adapting to people that may be the first-time buyers now. They're 35 years.
Yeah. 35
years old.
We were talking off-air about London and stuff like that, and my youngest son has a problem with that. You know, he can't get the deposit together on something that's outrageously expensive in London, but he's renting, and he's paying more in rent than he would pay in a mortgage repayment, but because he can't get the 20% deposit, then no one's interested.
It is really difficult for first-time buyers.
Yeah.
A couple of lenders have a really good scheme where parents, Paul.
Yeah, don't look at me. Yeah,
and they can deposit 10% deposit with a bank. So rather than actually giving the whole of the money to the son or the daughter, the money is actually kept in the bank for 3 years, and then 3 years after, the parents take the money back. So a lot of parents quite like that because they're not actually having to give the money away totally.
Yeah, you can also do joint mortgages and things like that, can you not?
Yes,
but you have to be careful there with
the technical term is joint borrower sole proprietor.
Right.
Which means that the parents' income can help the children to actually get the mortgage, but they're not involved in the legalities of owning the property. So there's no stamp duty implications or anything else.
Yeah, because the danger there, if you do that wrong, is if they sold the property, it's not my main residence, and therefore you're subject to capital gains tax.
Exactly. Their income can help with the affordability, but you don't want them actually named on the property.
Yeah. I hope he's not listening.
So there's
you've
lots
given the game away there, haven't you?
Yeah.
So there's lots going on in the mortgage market. You mentioned buy to let. That's very difficult now.
Yeah.
Lenders perceive you, the lending based on whether you're a higher or basic rate taxpayer. So it's quite a complex process now.
And it's interesting as well, isn't it? Because tell me if I'm wrong, but most lenders look at the buy to let market as if it's some kind of business, but if you own a house that you live in and you needed to go somewhere else to work and you wanted to rent your house out, if you were taking a mortgage, it would have to be buy to let, but not least of which, if you've got a standard repayment mortgage, you have to let the lender know that you're renting the house out now,
which
once upon a time you just didn't. It was nothing to do with them.
You have to get consent to let from the current lender.
And what happens under those circumstances, because you haven't got a buy to let mortgage, you didn't intend to have a buy to let mortgage, and you're probably going to come back to the house when you finish doing whatever, saying you get assigned overseas or something for your company.
Well, funny you stay in overseas. A couple of lenders are very flexible with obviously people in the armed forces. It depends on the lender, but typically most lenders add an extra 1% interest maybe to the mortgage, and then you notify them if you want to then reside in the property when you come back.
Right.
So most lenders are understanding that people's work and life situations change.
Yeah.
But the best thing is always to speak to them first to make sure that you organise something.
Cool. So you're a specialist in the mortgage business.
Yes.
And we've been talking domestic mortgages, obviously. Yeah. Do you do commercial mortgages?
We don't, no. Okay. No, we do help businesses with protection, things like shareholder protection and key person cover.
Okay, is that like key man cover and that kind
key
of stuff?
Key person cover, Paul.
Oh, sorry.
The real world.
Key person,
But we have some great partners we work with for commercial borrowing, but we don't actually deal with the finance side of things.
Okay, cool.
But on the commercial side, not so much commercial, but actually business owners.
Mm.
We were talking earlier on about the amount of small businesses coming along. What we do help a lot of people with is self-employed mortgages.
Right.
There's
which is difficult,
Yeah, there's a real perception in the market. Unfortunately, there's loads of people that meet people in the pub that say, oh, you're self-employed, you have to wait 3 years.
Yeah.
And there are different options now. Lenders are adapting to the amount of self-employed companies that are out there now.
Right.
So potentially you can get a mortgage after 1 year's trading.
Right.
That is an option, which many people didn't realise.
Yeah,
And there's more flexible ways of interpreting, how your accounts are produced.
In general, are lenders fairly bullish to lend, or are they fairly
there's an appetite at the moment, particularly to help first-time buyers.
Right.
I mean, there's numerous products that have got £1,000 cash back for first-time buyers. Mm. So there is an appetite to lend, and the rates are still healthy.
Mm.
So, I mean, there are obviously all of the stringent tests that people need to get through, but there are a few lenders that are trying to be more flexible and maybe working with accountants and getting accountant certificates. So lenders are really trying hard to, you know, to make it work for people.
Chris, quickly, have the days of the sort of the 100% mortgage, have they gone? Because, I mean, that was the sort of at the height of the credit crunch. That's what everybody was pointing at the finger at, cheap credit. So, I mean, interest rates are low, so I'm assuming mortgage rates are still low, but... In terms of the availability.
The 100% mortgage, apart from the parent mortgages that Paul's going to help his son with in a few weeks' time, the 100% mortgages aren't available anymore. There are 5% mortgages, but that's the best we can get.
I'm smiling over interest rates because that made me laugh. I was talking to Steve, my youngest, and he was looking at something. He's gone, 4%, that's extortionate. And I went, get out of it. My first mortgage I took out in May 1978 at 8%. By November of that year, the interest rate was 17.6.
Yeah. Yeah. Wasn't born then.
No, neither of us. None of us were. So let's move on.
Hold on, let me turn our mic off. Sorry. Thanks for that, Lynette.
Yeah, we have to be really careful with first-time buyers and make sure that when we are talking about their current payments, that, you know, each 1% could equate to X per month, and they need to realise that things are only going to go
It on. Must be a problem for guys like you because the mortgage rate hasn't moved, really. I mean, it's been pathetically – the base rate has been pathetically low for years now, and they're not looking to increase it anytime soon.
Yeah.
But it could – and I think people have been lulled into a false sense of security because there isn't really much movement in the interest rate market. And because they're quite low, even if there is, you know, even if you went to this buy to let and you added 1%, it's not the end of the world, is it?
No.
Going to a 5% mortgage or something over a 4% mortgage is not the end of the world. But it could move and people can be caught like that quite easily.
And sadly, what's happened, unfortunately, a lot of what we do is helping people with debt consolidation.
Right.
Because what's happened is people have had that excess income and they've used it to spend, you know, £700 per month on a fancy car. So it's trying to make
Who would ever do that?
Or two, Paul. Or two.
So it's trying to help them plan.
I just bought two cars. And that's what he's having a dig about. Like two German cars. Yeah.
Joe, can I ask you about, because I kind of referenced the kind of the last recession that we had back in sort of 2009. Tell us about how the regulation of the market has changed, because it has changed significantly, hasn't it? And I know you have a wall of certificates that you proudly display, and quite rightly so, that kind of reference your expertise in terms of being able to provide professional advice. So how has the market changed in that respect?
The main way that it's changed, and I don't think it's a bad thing, you're talking about 100% mortgages and things like self-certification mortgages were around before those days. And what's happening now is rather than lenders just sort of saying, oh, 5 or 6 times your income, lenders do actually work with us and make sure that it's affordable. We look at clients' bank statements. There's quite complex calculators that each different lender has where they factor in whether they've got a £700 per month car agreement, how many children they have. That was never really a big issue before, but obviously if you've got 4 or 5 children, that impacts on your household expenditure.
And you as Absolutely. A business, how do you need to fit into that regulation in terms of your accreditation, for example?
Obviously we have our formal qualifications, but the main thing that we do with clients is we make sure that we go through a budget planner with them. So it's not just about can I have the money, it's about how does that new mortgage payment work with your lifestyle. Is it going to be work in the future potentially as well, if you're going to want to move house and if interest rates increase. So it's making sure that we spend time, especially with first-time buyers, that we spend time making sure that they are comfortable with the monthly payments.
And I think that's something that was missing many years ago, where they just looked at really base level stuff. Back in my day, it was 4 times earning or whatever of you and 2 times your partner or whatever. So you got 6 times earnings as a family. But they never looked at the family outgoings of anything else, you know. And also, they didn't take into account other things as well.
No.
You know, so
if you see somebody, you know, has horses, for example, on their bank statement, that's a big expense, big commitment. Mm. So you need to, we do work more like, say, traditional bank managers used to be in the 70s. You know, you work closer with people to make sure that it's right for their family and their lifestyle.
Mm. Yeah,
absolutely. Rather than just getting the most money, it has to be right for the short term and long term as well.
Absolutely. It's a fascinating area because we do have this problem of young people getting onto the housing ladder in the southeast of England.
Yeah,
no, I mean, we tend to overlook this quite a lot. But if you look at the housing market across the UK, obviously there are parts of the UK where you can still buy a house for pocket money intrinsically. It's just that there's no jobs there, or, you know, it's very rural or whatever. It's predominantly the southeast of England that has the big issue because so many of us are crowded into it. It's where most of the work is and where certainly young people want to work. But that means that, you know, supply and demand is a bit out of kilter anyway.
Yeah. I mean, what's frustrating, you mentioned earlier on the rental payments that people pay for rent. Most people can afford the mortgage. Mm. It's the deposit that is the issue.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, the lenders are pushing to try to get back the what used to be called the MIG, the government guarantee, where that if lenders can lend at 100%, at least people can get on the ladder and start without having to, because in that cycle of paying a rent to try and save for a deposit is so difficult.
It's ridiculous, isn't it? It's self-defeating because you can't do it. And my son is a classic example. For the money he'd want to borrow on a mortgage, the repayments would be like £700 a month. He's actually paying £800 a month in rent, you know, on a shabby little one-room horrible dive.
Can I ask you, Joe, I mean, I grew up in Germany where everybody pretty much rents. Mm. Do you think that longer term there is going to be a kind of a move towards or a move away from, you know, this aspiration of owning your own property?
It's a real British culture thing, isn't it, to be a homeowner?
It's interesting, though, because home ownership numbers have plummeted in the UK from what they were. We used to have the highest home ownership in Europe. Yeah, once upon a time, something like 70% of people own their home. It's now 54, and in fact, Germany has a higher owner occupancy than the UK. So the market's changed around considerably. But property markets are different. My eldest son lives in France. He bought a chateau for nothing. Yeah, he just had some loose change in the bottom of his pocket and went, "Oh, I'll have that then." You know. It paid nothing.
I think younger people as well are more fluid. Mm. You know, they move from city to city. They're not so much looking at settling down straight away. So I think that's, I think people renting maybe is a bit more appealing to some people.
But do you think the government will need to step in at some point and kind of make more provision? Because, I mean, under Thatcher, for example, everybody points to the fact that, you know, there used to be a council house system, for example, you know, where you could get, you know, access to a property to live in with your family, which was kind of effectively state provided. Yeah. Mm. Do you think there's going to be a kind of a move back towards that kind of model?
I think they need to, really. I think affordable housing is maybe more important than helping people.
So, I mean, social housing, every new development has to have an element of social housing in it. Yeah. The problem with that, what we used to call council housing, is people don't move. Yeah, it's not a short, you know, people treat it as if it's some short-term help. It's not people living it for life. Millionaires live in council houses. Jimmy Savile lived in a council flat in Leeds. He was a multi-millionaire. Once you're in, you don't get shoved out. So it's of no benefit to people whether you provide a council house or any other kind of house if there's no movement in the market. So it's not,
unless it's affordable and they've now got a roof over their heads where they wouldn't otherwise have
one. Yeah, no, that's absolutely great, except they stay there and they block it for anyone else. Yeah, so they don't, you know, it's no different apart from it's slightly cheaper. Yeah.
And the numbers are so big. I think the March statement last week, the spring statement, there was 300,000 houses needed and they're doing 30,000 houses.
Exactly.
So, you know, it's just such a big number, such a big, big job, really.
Because we haven't been building houses at the rate we had. In the 50s, 60s and 70s, we were building 600,000 new houses a year. Since the 70s, we've been down at 100 to 200,000 houses all the time. The population has been going up almost exponentially.
And you've got the aging population issue as well.
Exactly. Well, you've got the whole demographic changing of the housing market, where we have vastly more single parent families. So where you have one house, you need two now, or two homes. An aging population, and government policy has completely made a mess of that market, because stamp duty now makes it, you know, difficult for people to downsize if they wanted to downsize and all kinds of things. Yeah. So there's a whole heap of problems in the housing market. Yeah. But I come back to what you were saying, though, Joanne, and I agree 100% that we really need to look at this 100% mortgage thing again, because it was stopped because of the 2007 financial crisis. But the reality was, in the UK, we actually didn't have that many foreclosures. Yeah. It was mostly a US thing. And the big problem in the 2007 market was a derivatives market where they were selling mortgage-backed securities. Yeah, it was nothing to do with people defaulting on the mortgage, but the government then clamped down on 100% mortgages.
Yeah.
And for most young people, they can't afford it any other way.
And if we could move those people that are currently renting that can afford mortgages, and that's freeing up accommodation for other options. So,
yeah.
Difficult.
What's been the impact of the new legislation with regard to tax on buy-to-let properties on private landlords?
There's been a downturn in people wanting to invest.
Yeah.
It's really not as active a market now. It's only the real motivated, solid investors that are investing, and it's very complex to get a mortgage. Mm. Luckily, there's experts like us that can help people to do that.
Mm.
But people aren't as attracted to it now.
No, because the yield would need to be that much greater to offset the tax burden.
It's just not as attractive at all, really.
Yeah.
I think what all of this kind of highlights to me, Paul, is, I mean, I haven't been in the mortgage market myself for a very long time, but is that just how complicated and complex it is, and how, you know, getting the right product to suit your needs, you really need to speak to someone like Joe, because otherwise,
absolutely,
if you try and do this online, for example, and you go for kind of, you know, headline rates on a supermarket shopping site,
you're getting nonsense. We're nonsense.
It just can't be done.
There's absolutely no reason why you shouldn't use a mortgage broker. There is no, it is the most expensive thing you're ever going to buy in your life, and you need to have the right product. Back in my day, we used to have, I can't remember what they were called, there was a class of mortgage, there was interest-only mortgage, but there was, I can't think what it was called.
Endowment,
that was the chap. It was an endowment mortgage. I mean, everybody got burnt by that,
But there's still a lot of people sitting on those, I would imagine, aren't
they? Fingers crossed.
Of a certain age.
But it's not just about the product and what you're paying per month. I think the big thing for us is about the stress.
Yeah.
So why do you want to potentially have two or three applications with different lenders and find that you don't particularly fit with that lender when you're trying to move?
Yeah.
Why add to that stress, really?
Yeah.
Just get it right first time and use somebody that knows what they're doing.
The other thing I think about the regulation now in kind of financial services generally is how transparent everybody's fees have to be.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
So, for example, how does your fee structure work when you're advising somebody on a new mortgage product?
For you, Martin, it's 20%.
So we do our first appointment at our own expense, and then, depending on the client circumstances, we agree a fee before we go on to move on to do any sort of more detailed work for them. And that would vary depending on whether they're an existing client or whether they're a really complex case. You know, maybe trying to buy a really, really complex property with, they were ex-bankrupts or something, then it's going to be a bit more detailed than somebody buying a property in Park Farms.
So it's not dependent on how much money you want to borrow? It's purely the input that you've got to have. Great. Cool. Okay. So what does that start from? I mean, what does the mortgage arrangement kind of fee through you guys start from?
£300 is our sort of broker fee that we invoice at the end of the process.
Right.
So if someone has a terrible time and they find that they cannot, that two properties fall through, we don't invoice to actually go through.
Right.
So we would do unlimited applications for that. If they're more complex, then it's £595.
Right.
So. And presumably most people, certainly at the start of this, probably load that on the mortgage anyway.
See, some people do,
yeah.
But for lots of people, you know, it's just factored into the cost that you would pay for the process. So, you know, you pay solicitors for professional advice.
Yeah.
So you pay ourselves for the same thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And why not? Because, as you say, it takes so much stress out of the out of the thing. You know, because I don't know about you, but I hate form filling. And I especially hate filling out forms online.
It's also the whole process. So throughout the process, if you're buying a house, you've got estate agents and solicitors needing updates. And if you're working busy at work, we can do that for them as well.
Yeah.
So not hassled by that.
Now, the other thing I wanted to just ask you about quickly is this whole kind of misnomer about whole of market.
Yeah.
Because a lot of financial advisors will say,
there is no whole of market mortgage advisor.
Right. Exactly.
Because there are lenders that choose not to work with intermediaries. Direct Line is an example of that. So you can say your whole of market. So your whole of market with all of the lenders that are happy to work with intermediaries, but nobody is fully whole of market because there are a couple of lenders that choose not to work with intermediaries.
Absolutely.
But you can have brokers that work with a smaller panel of lenders.
Right. Mm.
So they might only work with 10 or 15 lenders, whereas the independent broker should work with a wider choice.
Okay. Yeah.
And are there any kind of guarantees on that level? So, for example, if somebody arranged a mortgage through you and then they went into the marketplace and found a much better deal, is there a cooling off period when you arrange a mortgage like this? Or
until you draw down on the funds,
right,
then you don't pay our fee and you're not committed to that
right.
product.
Okay.
So you'd have 3 months potentially to, yeah. if there was, it would be highly unlikely, but yeah. if there was, yeah.
So we're not trying to tie people up in kind of knots here, you know.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
It's transparent what's available
yes.
to clients.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I just want to talk about tracker mortgages and fixed rate mortgages, just because they're kind of things that people look at. I'm going to ask you a question and you're going to go, Paul, I can't possibly answer that. And it's just, but I mean, is it a good thing at the moment to briefly explain to us the difference between a tracker mortgage okay. and a fixed rate mortgage, first of all,
okay.
and then is it something that we really ought to think about at okay. the moment? Yeah.
So a fixed rate mortgage means that you're guaranteeing what you're paying for a period of time.
Yep.
It could be 2, 3, 5, or 10 years now. There's
right.
people that are really
right.
worried about
okay.
uncertainty.
Yeah.
So you're guaranteed an interest rate and you're guaranteed what you're going to pay per month.
Right.
The downsides of that, if you want to move, there's limited flexibility. So
right.
there would be a penalty to come out of that product.
Right.
But you can move that to the new property.
Okay. And just to get a feel for that, what's the kind of size of penalty roughly that you pay?
It's normally about 3% of the mortgage balance, so potentially £3,000 on a £100,000 mortgage.
Right, okay. So it could be quite a substantial amount of money.
So, so that's where people like us help, because we would talk about their medium to short-term
yeah.
plans.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas a tracker mortgage, it would go up and down in line with the Bank of England interest rate.
Right.
But typically, you have more flexibility.
Right.
So what we often do for clients, if they're thinking of moving, when their fixed rate comes to an end, we'd put them onto a tracker product, which is lower than the lender's variable rate, until they then move and then get a fixed rate when they move.
Yeah.
So it gives you more flexibility, but you are susceptible to interest rate increases.
Okay. And just finally on that kind of thing, if you want to pay a mortgage off
yeah.
early, what's the things to watch out for?
So you've got penalties if you want to. With most fixed rate mortgages, you can make lump sum overpayments of 10% per annum without
yeah.
penalty.
Yeah.
There are some that are a bit more flexible than that. Metro Bank, you mentioned earlier on, permit
20%.
Right. But typically, you have to then wait until the end of that period. So if it's a 2-year product, you can't make a significant lump sum or fully repay the mortgage until the end of that product.
But the end of that product, you could come along and pay the whole lot off if you wanted.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think you and Joanne need to
spend
an hour after the show, don't you, going through your individual circumstances.
No. It's just that I'd looked at it for loads of different reasons. I'd looked into this just recently. And because since that I last took out a mortgage myself, which was a long time ago, the whole thing had changed. And it's just interesting.
You mean because you've got two adult children who you're struggling to get rid of and you're thinking the only way I'm going to do this is to buy them a house?
No,
so that
I'm not buying anyone a house, and I'm not taking a mortgage. I've explained this to you 3 times. I'm not remotely interested in having a mortgage.
He's going to sell his cars to buy the house.
Yeah. I might sell the kids my house. No, that's really interesting. So, Joanne, if people want to find out more about Scarlett Financial Services, how can they do that?
Okay, so our website is ScarlettFS at Scarlett with 2 T's, FS.com. On Twitter, ScarlettFS at ScarlettFS Kent. Email us on info@scarlettfs.com. But we're really boring. We like to talk to people. So if you want to phone us, the number is 01233.
That's Ashford.
Ashford. 800-555. So just phone up and have a chat.
01233-800-555.
Yeah.
Do give them a call. All the details are on the Kent Business Radio website if you didn't get to write that down. For the moment, Joanne, thank you so much for that. It's fascinating. The housing market is still one of the big things that along with the weather that we like to talk about here in the UK. So it's good to talk to you about
And massively complex as well. You know, that's the kind of message I get. So talk to an expert.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm a great believer in using brokers and independent professional people for everything that I do. You know, insurance brokers, mortgage brokers, these people know the market. They know their way around it. It saves a huge amount of grief. And the fees that we're talking about are minuscule in the overall scheme of things, you know.
And Joanne's just written an excellent blog, by the way, as well, for self-employed people and business owners on you know, what you need to do in order to kind of secure a mortgage. So that's on your website, and we're about to publish it as well. So
that's really good. We need to broadcast that as far and wide as possible, because Joanne's absolutely right. The man down the pub has still got this big thing about not being able to get a mortgage if you're self-employed. And as we discussed earlier, there's an awful lot of self-employed. There's 144,000 self-employed people in Kent alone, so it's a big deal. Cool. Thank you for that. Thanks for having me. Do stay with us for the rest of the show.
Unlucky Stu, we tried, but it's not happening by the sounds.
He's actually in Zurich at the moment.
And then he's
in Berlin on Friday. So if he bought a house, he'd never be in it. So anyway, I want to tell you something that's coming up later in the year. It's a first. It's the Tech Expo, and it's happening at the Clive Empson Suite at the Kent Event Centre. That's at the agricultural ground at Detlin. And it's happening on Thursday, the 26th of September, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. And it's the first ever event of its kind in the southeast of England. It's a full day exhibition for business owners wanting to connect with suppliers who can help them run, build, grow, maintain their business with the power of technology. Yes, it's the Tech Expo UK show. You're going to meet with over 100 suppliers from different sectors of technology, including IT support, cybersecurity, software vendors, digital marketing and online accountancy and cloud-based suppliers. There's five fantastic speakers, and the speakers are Brian Sutton from Microsoft, talking about how Microsoft is developing to help business. Richard Bell, who's the Chief Technology Officer of 10 Intelligence, and they're a cybersecurity specialist. Ben Abbott, who's the CEO of Maximum Media, are getting your business ready for voice technology. Will Charlesworth from Cripps Law, he's a lawyer specializing in digital law. And Bill Burton from the Dale Carnegie Organization, talking about being human in a digital world. There's also five workshops. There's Google partner Amy McManus of AM Marketing, keeping your business ahead in the digital market game. There's Aaron Taylor, who's the CEO of 6-2 Technology, stop the sales pitch and start the conversation. There's Mike Hacker, commonly known to us all as Hacks, who's the chief executive of Prisma Broadcast, the proper use of video can propel your business forward. The lovely Zoe Cairns of ZC Social Media, having an adaptable content strategy plan, and Claire Derbyshire from LinkedIn, who's going to talk about using LinkedIn for your business. So if you're a supplier who doesn't want to miss this opportunity to showcase your brand to hundreds of key buyers and business owners who are looking for the right tech to help them with their business, meeting face-to-face with them in a buzzing trade show environment, contact us for more details about exhibition packages. For details, the website is www.techexpouk.com.
Is that because Mike's not very good at golf?
Mike Hacks.
Hacker.
Oh dear.
I've clearly been around Paul for too long, haven't I? But what I will say is, we've had a tweet from Morpheus Insurance, who I know are good friends of yours, and you...
Oh, the lovely Simon.
Yeah. Simon Hammond, and you network at the Wheeldon Business Group together,
yes,
don't you?
Yeah, we're there tomorrow morning.
So Simon's been enjoying your interview.
You've moved, haven't you?
Little Silver Hotel, yeah.
Yes, you're not there anymore, are you?
Hope so. That's where I'm going to.
I thought you were moving. I thought the Wheeldon Business Group were moving. Oh,
that complaint you put in about noise clearly didn't work.
Clear off. Stop making a noise.
I know that we're at Bruges next Wednesday, so maybe.
Oh, no, sorry. I know. It was BNI that used to meet there. They've moved.
Right, to the Ashford International Hotel.
Yeah, they've moved to the Ashford International. Yeah. Yeah, no,
it's not the poor old Wheeldon Business Group you need to worry about. It's all those weddings they have there, Paul.
Yeah, but they're during the day. This
keeping
lot,
the guests away.
This lot arrive at 6:30 and wake me up. I live opposite the Little Silver Hotel.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah. Come and see you tomorrow morning.
Yeah, yeah. They invited me to the Wheeldon Business Group, but I said it's too far to come. Cool.
You don't like walking, do you?
I don't like waking up at 6:30 in the morning for breakfast. These are what I don't like. That's what I don't like. I don't mind walking over there. It's all of 5 yards.
Yeah. You've just given me another cue for Terry Botfield's latest Breakfast Networking.
See, this show isn't just thrown together.
It's kind of seamless, isn't it?
It just unfolds.
It's this Thursday, 7:45, at the Ship Inn in Dymchurch.
The what?
The Ship Inn.
Oh, Ship Inn.
In Dymchurch, which is a lovely pub. It's a full English. You do need to book on.
The pub or the breakfast?
Stop interrupting me.
Sorry.
All the details are on the Kent Business Radio website. I've been along to that in the past. It's great. If you're sort of a business down on down on the marsh, down that neck of the woods, there isn't a huge amount of networking going on. This is a quality group. They also do a coffee morning as well once a month. But this week, it's the breakfast. So 7.45 till 9.15 at the Ship Inn. Have a look on the Kent Business Radio website for all the booking details. And that's with Terry Botfield.
We went to the launch of that a couple of years
coffee
ago.
Morning.
It was brilliant, wasn't it? It was and a really good turnout. And it's gone from strength to strength.
It really has. And Terry's very involved with the Romney Resource Centre as well. In fact, he's got a business workshop coming
up. I've got some details about that that we're going to read in a minute.
Good.
I'm going to read one more tweet and then we're going to join the Channel Radio newsroom. I've had a tweet from the Taking Off podcast and they say, have a great show, Paul. We're listening in again. But do check out the Taking Off podcast as well. Fantastic music on that. But we're going to join the Channel Radio newsroom and then we've got two more fantastic guests to talk to in the second half of the show. So here we go.
On the hour, Channel Radio News Up.